Hello, hello, hello. How's everyone doing? Today's Monday, which everyone knows what that means. It means it's time for Get to Know Night, the weekly show where you ask me questions and I give you answers to the best of my ability. We're rapidly reapproaching the 200 number, a number I'm trying to stay very far away from. So let's jump into these questions, shall we? The first one's for Anonymous. They say, I know you said you used to own a dog, but she died. Yeah, she did pass away, sadly. Do you mind to say when she died and how old she was? Or her name? I won't give her name, because it's pretty close to me. But she passed away. Oh man, she was 14 years old when she passed away. She had. I'm not entirely sure what was happening with her hind legs. It was basically arthritis. Just because of the breed she was and how old she was and. They just have congenital hip failure at a certain point, and she did. And I took care of the best I could for her, in like the end of her life, carried her, everywhere. She was not a light dog; she was a big dog. But I had to carry her to go out to pee and go to the bathroom and just get take care of her food and stuff, near the end of her life. And she was in just so much pain chronically, so it was sad. I think losing a pet's really hard. It's one of the hardest experiences for people, because they're like your kids, you know. They're like this thing you're like responsible for in this real way, that you love unconditionally, and they love you unconditionally. It's hard. Losing a pet's hard. It's a hard experience. But it's so rewarding when you have a pet. Like it is a rewarding relationship. Let's see, what's the next question? Anonymous says, I noticed in your Not Safe for Work audios you give female oral. Do you enjoy it? Do you like to for someone to get really wet and orgasm very hard? I love giving oral to females. I think it's so much fun. I think Mac Miller said it best. Oh, God, I wish I'd had the quote. But he was like, he was in an interview, and the guy was like, said that he didn't like going down on girls. And man, I was like, that's crazy. I don't understand. Like, why wouldn't you want to? He's like, it's the best. He's like, you hold her hands and you guys make eye contact, and it's like, I can't remember the exact quote, but it's something along those lines. But he's right. Yeah, going down on women is it's the best. I don't understand why people are like, that they don't like doing it or they don't want to do it or whatever. I think that's crazy. Oh, this is a good one. Why do your newer audio sound echoey? I have like two of these questions or maybe more of them. Let me go to the next one because I know I saw a few of them. Why does your audio sound echoey recently? I listened to a recent Not Safe for Work one and the echo was really bad. Oh, so long story short, there's a new microphone. I've been trying to get it to work. I didn't pick up the echo, and I hear it like now that people are like, there's an echo. I'm like, oh shit, there is. And I'm hearing it back, and I think I fixed it, and I think I've taken it out. This audio right now is being recorded on the new mic with hopefully no echo. I'm pretty sure there'll be no echo. I did a bunch of stuff to fix that. So, let me know if there is an echo because there shouldn't be any more. So thank you for everyone who let me know there's an echo. I really appreciate it. Manda asks, let's see. I'm not sure how many questions we're allowed to ask. If you made a playlist to describe yourself, what are your top five songs? And if you were to make a movie of your life, what message do you think would be most important to portray? Those are good questions. Top five songs. I'd want like Claire de Lune to be on there. Maybe Nocturne by Chopin. Maybe Golden Hair Sister by The American. By wait, no, it's by America. What else would I want on that playlist? I'm really trying to ponder these last two entries in the top five songs. I'll come back to it hopefully at some point. Last two songs probably wants to be like Strobe and like Lick It Ice remix maybe. It's a really eclectic list. I might change all those answers if I got more thought into it, but that's my off the top of the head answers. And then the movie. What will the message for my movie be? Maybe something about perseverance, something about not giving up, I think would be a pretty apt theme for my movie. Yeah, something about perseverance. But yeah, thank you for your question, Amanda. I appreciate it. Anonymous asks, would you ever do a full video game Let's Play? Oh boy. Okay. Yes, I would. That question kind of hurts me. Not like you've hurt me, question asker. The question hurts me because I want to so badly. I would love to do a full Let's Play of a video game. I think the two prohibiting factors is time, and I don't know if how many people would like want to watch it. You know, like if I knew enough people would watch it, I would definitely put in the time to make it. So we'll see. Maybe I will. Maybe, I mean, this has been something I've been playing around for a very long time, the idea of doing Let's Plays. But we'll see. We shall see. Let's see. CN asked, if you could hang out with any celebrity dead or alive, who would it be and why? Christopher Lee. I would want to talk to Christopher Lee. Oh my god, I want to talk to Christopher Lee so badly. I have so many questions for him. Just so many questions. If you don't know anything about the life of Christopher Lee, just like Google it right now. You'll be shocked. That man lived probably the fullest life of any human in like the 21st century. Like, no one has both hunted actual Nazis and played Dracula like within a 10-year span of time. I just want someone to just think about that for a second. He both hunted real Nazis and also played Dracula. Christopher Lee is such a badass that when he was an old man, he was like, you know what I'm gonna do? Hardcore death metal. And he started a hardcore death metal band and had two albums and a Christmas album. Like, I have so many questions to ask Christopher Lee. Like, he lived his life correctly, and I would very much like to learn his secrets, because that man is awesome, and I am incredibly envious of the life he lived. It's almost like Hemingway-esque, except none of the bad sides. From all accounts, he was like a genuinely very great human being, whereas Hemingway, we can have a long discussion about Hemingway. All right, Lucky asks, did you have a lot of chores growing up? I don't think I had a lot of chores growing up. I had chores growing up. I had to take out the trash. I had to do the dishes. I had to make my bed. I had to clean my room. Did I have anything else I had to do? The big ones for me were trash. I was like the trash man of the house. And then I also dishes occasionally. But trash was like my big chore. Like, I had to make sure like all the trash was collected and taken out on the trash days. And recycling too. And then like cleaning your room, making your bed, and like cleaning your bathroom. That's just like, that's not really chores. Those are just like stuff you got to do for your life. They're not like, but yeah, so those were my chores. I don't think it was a lot. I think it was just like, I think it was like a reasonable amount of chores. Let's see. Anonymous says, if you heard someone that was pregnant and they're having cravings and they gained weight or started to, would you ever tell them they need to cut back? If they can. No. So, usually, I'm saying usually pretty vaguely, but usually when a woman is pregnant and she has cravings and she's like desiring things, it's because the body is like, I need this set of vitamins or I need this set of nutrients, and the body is
conveying that through cravings. For example, sometimes women crave red meat, and that's sometimes indicative of them not having enough iron when they're pregnant, which is not uncommon. So I don't think I ever would, mostly because I don't want her to not get those bits of nutrients, because clearly the baby needs them, clearly she needs it. I think the only person who could tell her that is a doctor, who would be saying that because of risk to the baby or risk to her own health. But short of that, no, she does what she wants. She's pregnant. Like, she's in charge of this journey. I am a helper. I will help as much as I can. Whatever that thing that she needs is, I will help in that endeavor. But, no, the only person who can say that's a doctor. It's not coming from me. Let's see. Anonymous. Hey Kay, I noticed that in the COVID channel you request a statistic for Monaco a few times. I was just wondering why. Is it okay to ask? Have you moved to Monaco? I have not moved to Monaco. God, I wish I had moved to Monaco. what a different life I would have lived if I had moved to Monaco. No, I have friends and some relations in the city, and so I'm just curious how it's doing. Also, I think those kind of like Monaco, Luxembourg, Vatican City. I wanted to say like put Hong Kong and Macau into that list, but I don't think they fit in the same kind of capacity. But I think those cities, not really cities, but these small countries. Are a good indicator of how the virus is doing globally. If you look at these small outliers, you can kind of see, because they should have theoretically the lowest case rates and lowest spread. There's a science answer here that's really boring and really long, which is a lot of also why I'm curious about those small cases and see what is happening with the virus in like a larger sense, but. that's a long short answer for why Monaco. But yeah, very sad I'm not living in Monaco currently. It would be very different if I was. Let's see. All right, anonymous. Where do I find a significant other when I don't really enjoy going to clubs, bars, or social gatherings? Well, good news. Welcome to 2021, the year where you can't go to bars, clubs, or social gatherings. Which means everyone's kind of changing the way they find people in the world now. What would I suggest? What would I suggest to someone? I think my suggestion is, well, first, my suggestion is don't look. I don't advocate people looking for love. I don't think that's ever a good thing to do. I think love finds you, which is kind of like a really tropey answer, but it's true. It's you find things when you're not looking for them, and I think that goes doubly for love. So what I would suggest for you is, what are you passionate about? What are things you're super into? What are your hobbies? Do those things, like express them. Whether that's writing, or whether that's crocheting, or whether that's, skydiving or freeform jazz, I don't know, whatever it may be, express yourself in that. And you may be surprised to find the person that you are intrinsically linked with. Also is expressing themselves through that same medium as well, and that's where you'll find each other. I think people should have a foundation of shared interests that helps with a lot of relationships. I think people talk about how opposites attract, and people who are diametrically opposed work very well together, and there are cases where that's true, but I don't think that's a universal truth. I think people who are diametrically opposed tend to continue to be that way, and it can create tumultuous relationships and conflict and things that aren't great. So I suggest do the things you love. Find the things you love, do them, and you might be surprised. You might find someone else doing that same thing that you might be interested in. So that's my advice to you. Anonymous asks, have you ever felt depressed or lonely and you want to stay in bed all day and feel like getting up or doing stuff? Oh my god, so often. So many days have I felt like I'm too tired, I'm burnt out, I'm beat up, I'm just, the world's too much, and I just want to just lay in bed and do nothing, which I get. But on those days, when I feel that way, when I feel overwhelmed, overworked, just kind of at the edge, I get out of bed. I have to get out of bed. I cannot allow myself to stay in there, because if I do, I will stay in that space, in that place, which is terrible. We don't want to feel like this. It's not the way we want to feel at all. We want to be happy and productive, and you know, we don't want to be sad and tired and hurt in bed. We want to be like out and doing stuff, and like the space between those two points seems really big from bed. That chasm of like, today's gonna be a good day, and from the perspective of the bed, and from the perspective of like opening your eyes and being like, to like, let's do it, is huge. It's monumental. But the only way you're gonna bridge that gap is getting up and starting to do something. There was that really good piece of advice I got once upon a time that said, if you're having trouble doing stuff that you need to do during the day, find small little things that you both need to do but also kind of want to do, and use that momentum to roll you into the big scary thing. That's a good example of that. Okay, here's a good example. I wake up not feeling great. Super bummed I have to wake up and do a paper. Okay, I have a paper that's due in a week, and I'm like, oh god, I gotta start this thing. Whew, I haven't done any of it. I haven't done any research. I haven't done a single thing for it. Oh, I don't want to get out of bed. But I remember that I did order pizza last night, and there is pizza in the fridge, and I can wake up and eat the pizza. That doesn't sound terrible. It sounds actually not too bad. I enjoyed the pizza last night. So I get out of bed, and I heat up a pizza, and, you know, put it in the oven. No, we're not putting it in the microwave. We're putting it in an oven. We're going to eat this pizza correctly. And then we're going to just, you know, eat it, turn on the TV, watch something. But don't watch something that's long, like a movie. Watch something short, like a Gumball or like a Steven Universe. You know, short pieces of animation, something quick, snippety, so that when you finish eating, the thing is done about the same time. And instead of going, let's watch the next one, do something else. Be like, okay, the living room's kind of a mess. Let me just tidy it up really quick and tidy up the living room. You're like, oh, that actually felt really good. Let me go in my bedroom. And then I look around and I'm like, oh my god, my desk is a mess. And then I just, you know, tidy up my desk a little bit. And I'm like, oh, wait, I have, oh, my paper. Oh, maybe I should just sit down and, like, think about a topic. And then you sit down and you, like, scroll online, maybe put on some music to help you out. And then slowly but surely, your day has changed. And you ended up doing something. Whereas initially, if I gave into my desires, I wouldn't have. Obviously, that's a hypothetical example. And your days are probably much different than mine. But I think doing small things that make you feel good are critical. I think they will jumpstart you and help you, on the days where you just don't want to get out of bed. So I hope that helps. Anyway, that's it for this episode of Gets Into Night. We didn't do as many as I thought I would, but, there's always more, and there's always next week. So if you do have a question, please feel free to ask in the links down below. And as always, I hope you guys have a great week, and I'll talk to you later. Bye now.